And welcome to Connections on this Wednesday, a beautiful Wednesday. I'm Bill Newell, along with Rick Moore. Rick, hello and welcome.
Yes, it is. Good morning, and the sun is welcome. Still a little cool out there, but we'll take it.
It is. It's a nice change of pace. I understand we won't be with us for long. Meanwhile, we have a great show for everybody today. I want to remind folks that Tony Beadle from Shailen Liu is in a video below. So if you look on the post, he will not be part of this podcast, but we got the video with Tony. And Rick, maybe tell me a bit about that. Just what's in that Zoom interview with Tony Beadle?
Well, Tony explains how the concerts have been postponed or rescheduled, and how to notify, how acts and agents are notified, and how they notify the business, but also when the Shailen Liu plans to reopen. And they are planning a pretty full schedule beginning, I think it's at the end of July. I'll have to watch the interview, but I think it's at the end of July going on into the fall. And of course, as with everything else, it's all up in the air, but they're ready to get back into action when it is safe to do so. And also the Rockport Music Series, a lot of that has been canceled for this year and will have to be rescheduled for next summer.
Yeah, you folks pay attention to these interviews. We don't have to, but you folks need to pay attention to these interviews. We'll also check in with Brian LaPierre. He is the councilor at large, City of Lynn. He's been doing a COVID-19 update for the city. We'll talk about that just ahead. Also, we'll hear from John Ford and Gail Hewins from Veterans Northeast Outreach Center. Actually, as we speak now, today, they are they're conducting a pop-up food bank out at North Shore Community College, but you'd have to register as a veteran to take advantage of it. We have all those details. Plus, if you look down below on our post, we've got all the details on their group and what this is all about. So you can read about that and some useful links. And then Dave Radigan will be joining us, and he will talk to us about Speechapalooza and a few other things. His class is doing that. It's today and the next 3 days at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we have the Facebook link on this post as well. And, Rick, we also like to take a look at from stories from time to time. I just have one to add that was in North Shore today, but it's an item story that the Marblehead Town Meeting has discussed. There were some problems with moving it because of the laws and guidance so far from the state, but they went to court, got a move to lower the quorum, and the meeting now, the town meeting for Marblehead will begin Monday, June 29th, not this coming Monday as it was originally scheduled. So a little breaking news from the town of from Marblehead. Rick, what else is happening today?
Well, I'd like to point out the interview we did yesterday with the superintendent of schools at Triton. Really some interesting information and how hard they're working to try to get some celebration for the class of 2020 in order, and how everything is in flux. And as we keep mentioning, and others have mentioned as well, Bill, the more you get into this, the more you realize that, boy, there's so much you don't know in terms of logistics, in terms of dealing what were originally just ordinary everyday activities. So I invite people to listen to that. But there's a cool little article on the front page of the Gloucester Times today written by Michael Cronin. And the headline says, "A Tiny Pantry Fills Need." And there's a picture of this little, it almost looks like a little hen house that's been erected in Essex by Essex resident Anne Cameron. And it is a two-door cupboard that's located on Cameron's front lawn at 23 Pickering Street. Locals with a surplus of food or supplies are asked to keep the pantry filled, while those in need are welcome to take what they need from it. Cameron's been active in the Manchester Essex Regional School District for years and currently serves on the school committee. She said the project was inspired by the Essex residents she's connected with through her work. And it shows a couple of pictures of this little thing. And it's probably maybe 6 or 8 feet tall. And it's probably maybe 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet wide with a couple of doors. And people, it shows people stocking this thing. It doesn't show people coming by and taking things out of it. But what a great idea. And the town in Essex, they may build a couple of more of these things for people just to, if you got something extra in your house, just drop it off in there and someone who might be in need can take it. What a terrific idea.
Yeah, it's kind of like those little book exchanges they have for paperbacks. They have at different places. You put a book in, you take a book, you leave a book or what, something like that.
Yeah. And one more story, if I could, Bill, just a quick update. The Gloucester Times also has the latest numbers on Cape Ann. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases among Gloucester residents is 142 on Monday. That's up from 111 on Thursday. Of those cases, 7 patients are hospitalized, 67 are in isolation, 60 have recovered, and 8 have died. In Rockport, 33 cases on Monday, up from 24 on April 22. That's 33 total cases. Essex, 15 total cases as of April 24. And in Manchester by the Sea, 12 cases as of April 22. So as you have been pointing out, the numbers are much lower in Manchester by the Sea, Essex, and Rockport than most other places.
Lynn City Councilor at Large Brian LaPierre is joining us. And Brian, welcome. Thanks for taking a few minutes to join us.
Hey, thank you for having me, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Brian, City Councilor at Large, as I mentioned, but he's also doing the COVID-19 Lynn update every day on LynnTV.org. And Brian, I've been watching it. Very interesting stuff, timely stuff, and it's great. It's up on the website, obviously. We will put a link up to it on our Connections post here today. But what's the latest news? I know this week you had a big week. You're talking with the health director from Lynn and also the mayor. So let me start in reverse order. How about with the health director? Tell me about what she had to say.
Yeah, so, Bill, it really started out this show, this program. My colleague, President Council Sayre, had the idea to go on local community television and give updates around our food bank that we've had down the Salvation Army and to give the information about how folks can access food Monday through Friday in the morning from 9 to noon. And then, of course, we need volunteers. And so the idea was to promote what's happening in Lynn. And he just got so overwhelmed with all of those obligations that he asked me, oh, what is it now, 3 weeks ago, about kind of take on the airwaves and go on to the daily, you know, update and offer what we've been doing, as you referred to, a daily COVID-19 Lynn update. And that is every afternoon at 3 p.m. So what I've been trying to do with my colleague Hong Net and Juan Gonzalez of Without Borders magazine is try to break it up along with giving the numbers and what's happening around the city, invite special guests on like the mayor. We had Mayor McGee on Monday. As you said, we had Michelle Damaris, who was our public health director yesterday, on yesterday's program. So it's been going really well to date. I think we're trying to give as many updates very concise way and educate the general public on where we stand as a city during COVID and, you know, during the crisis and how everyone can help out.
Brian, this is how Ted Koppel started, you know, years ago. I don't know how old you are, but I don't know if you go back that far, but this is how he started with Nightline.
No, I totally respect Mr. Koppel, and I'm not going to be applying for his job anytime soon. Nightline, plus I go to bed real early, Bill, so Teddy Koppel and I, it just wouldn't fit, you know. But thank you for the very, maybe Sam Donaldson or one of the, Chris Cuomo we watch on CNN.
So. Well, you know, it's funny, I go to bed a little earlier now, too, and I don't even know if it's on. I think the show's on, but I'm sure Ted Koppel is not hosting the show now, Brian. He's been long gone, I think, from
I don't think it is. It's someone like Elizabeth Vargas or someone from Channel 5 now. He was a great legendary historic broadcaster.
No, he was. And so it's what I'm saying, Brian. You never know what could be in store for you.
Hairpiece, Bill. What do you think? Can I borrow his hairpiece? Oh, we're getting silly.
Oh, man. Yeah, we've been shut in too long for sure.
That's right.
But hey, you or me, I think. Exactly on that. Hey, so if you were to summarize a couple of things, what you've heard this week, I watched some of the mayor and what he had to say. I'm just struck by looking around at other North Shore communities, how many positive tests Lynn has had.
Yeah. I mean, I could speak to that. The mayor and the numbers are, you know, as of yesterday afternoon, we had over 1,600 positive cases. I've learned that folks in recovery, only 202 of them, are those who do test negative, but it takes an awful long time for these folks to get over the virus. And, of course, the deaths, the number of deaths, folks who have succumbed to the virus is startling because it's climbing every day. We have now 45 as of yesterday, and our neighboring community of Peabody is over 50. So we're worried about it spiking. We're in the midst of the surge. We've been saying it for several weeks now. The mayor said it. We're trying to do everything we can by instating the curfew from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., the face coverings, the gloves or rubber gloves, you know, masks, keeping everything closed as much as we can, and we're still trying to support the businesses. So it's really a tricky, tricky thing. And even our Mr. Smaris yesterday came on the show, and she was just saying how much goes into the various task force that have been set up and created. You know, you have a vulnerable population task force, for example, and that's focusing on our nursing homes and our elderly. And then you have like a whole separate coordinated group around operations in Lynn, and then a policy committee. So you have so many people that are doing the work behind the scenes, I think, in order to try and come out of this in a positive way. And people are getting a little antsy. You know, we're home week six, week seven, whatever we're in. And, you know, you can feel that tension. So we're trying to toe the line and support local businesses by doing the curbside and delivery and keeping our essential services open like markets and pharmacies, but minimize the uses of everywhere, you know.
Brian, I know that you mentioned Councillor Sear. I know he's been involved with other people in Lynn with the food distribution piece. I saw some nice photos on that maybe about a week or so ago. But again, the amount of devastation, economic devastation, is incredible. Maybe you could speak to it from the Lynn point of view as far as job loss and the fact that people need the food that is being given out.
Yes, sure, I can. I mean, it was one of our projects that he took the lead on when this first broke, and he asked all the counselors to A, contribute, and B, do some sweat equity and put man hours in down the Salvation Army as much as we can. So they're down there every day. They're upwards of 700 to 800 boxes of food that gets distributed on average. They've now eclipsed the 10,000th box mark since March 16th. That equates to about, it's the equivalent of a 500,000 meals that have been distributed thus far. People have been donating part of their stimulus, federal government money to this cause. We get $5 donations from residents, all the way up to, you know, $500. So, there's a lot of, folks that are being very charitable and giving, Councilors Hogan, Councilor Starbird, Councilor Sear, of course, and so many others have really put forth such an effort. We're all doing our part, but it's been a very successful partnership with the Salvation Army, Youth Without Borders, the Church on Monroe Street, the East Coast International with Kurt Lang. It's a real community pitch-in effort, and we couldn't be more proud of the results that we're seeing. Although, you know, we would like to close it down tomorrow, frankly, because that would mean that this epidemic or pandemic is over with. But it's just not the time yet, unfortunately. But pallets of food, fresh veggies, canned goods, we're just so grateful for all of that.
Let me kind of wrap it up with a question is about donations. So if somebody wanted to donate, is money, I would think, the best thing?
Yeah, I'd say at this time, Bill, in terms of the food project that's going on, or our senior sort of project, we try to help the seniors, the disabled, and folks that are incapacitated, our most vulnerable. We've been asking others if they are able to do a $5 minimal, $5 check paid to the Salvation Army, send it off to 1 Franklin Street in Lynn at 01902, and put in the memo COVID-19 so it gets to this project. And people have been very generous. We hope that continues.
Got it. Brian, anything else you need to share with us, whether it be, well, actually, you know, what about council business? Anything breaking on the council?
We have not had anything publicly scheduled since we appointed our city planner about a month ago. There's nothing on the calendar for us to meet. We do meet virtually, his order, but those have not occurred. City business is on hold right now. Only on an emergency basis do we get together, and when we do, it's via Zoom.
Well, the champion of Zoom in Lynn, Brian LaPierre, with us, Councilor at Large. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be checking out the COVID-19 updates, again, on LynnTV.org. So, Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Bill. Stay safe to you and your family.
You too. Brian LaPierre, City Councilor at Large, City of Lynn, on Connections. Just ahead on Connections, John Ford and Gail Hewins will be joining us from Veterans Northeast Outreach Center. They'll be telling us about some of the great work that they are doing. And then Dave Radigan to join us. He'll tell us about Speechapalooza, as well as our country trying to reopen for business. MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors. Like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com. Joining us right now is John Ford and Gail Hewins from Veterans Northeast Outreach Center. They're basically up in Haverhill, but they serve all around the North Shore, and these are very difficult times for so many families during the pandemic. And first, John and Gail, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us, Bill. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I want to talk on Wednesday. There's going to be a food kind of a pop-up center they're referred to at North Shore Community College in Danvers, a distribution site. Can you just share a little bit of information on that, which takes place, and then we'll go more into your organization?
Sure. We're partnering with the Mass Military Foundation and Food for Vets to secure 100 cases of food that have non-perishable items that should last a family of two for about 2 weeks, give or take the appetite that is out there. And this food is being made available through the donations of a number of different food distributors. Ocean State Job Lot has put this together. The New England Patriots have actually offered Gillette Stadium as the space where they're putting all these kits together in a warehouse. And then it's being distributed throughout points throughout Massachusetts to make sure that veterans are getting some food. As you mentioned in your introduction, this is a very, very tough time for a lot of people. And, you know, food scarcity is a scary thing in and of itself on any given time. So we're trying to do what we can to make food available to as many people as we possibly can through these empowerment centers. And they're popping up, you know, at a number of different locations. We are at North Shore Community College on Ferncroft Road. We'll be there on Wednesday from 10 to 12. And you have to register through the and I'm actually pulling up the website so I can give the right address here.
I think we have a link to it, John, on our post. We'll have a link to it, but go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, great. So you have to register in order to be able to get a box of the food. So we can track where it's going and who's getting it, because we want to make sure that we have enough food for the folks who are registering. So that's one of the things that we're doing at this point in partnerships, and I'm really pleased that a lot of veterans organizations are collaborating to make this all possible.
What is the difference then between your organization and Military Support Foundation? The Mass Military Support Foundation, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think if you look at VNOC, as we affectionately call it, the Veterans Northeast Outreach Center, we are a wraparound services for veterans focused in the Merrimack Valley and also in Rockingham and Hillsborough counties in southern New Hampshire. And we also have a presence in the Marlboro, Mass area, as well as Barnstable County down in the Cape. And one of the things that we provide is various grant-oriented programs for veterans who are homeless. And these programs range from a bridge program of transitional housing, where they can come into a program for 90 days. They can gain work skills, job skills, budgeting skills to be able to help them manage their money better, with the goal of being able to get permanent housing after their time with us in those particular programs. Our Transition in Place program focuses on veterans actually coming in and being placed in an apartment where their rent may be subsidized, with the overall goal of giving them the skills and the employment that they need to eventually be able to take over the rent on their own and have that be their permanent housing. We also have a grant through HUD where we have veterans and families in 26 units across the Merrimack Valley where they're living in their own homes, supported by HUD in addition to the rent that they are paying as a subsidized housing. We also provide permanent housing that we have in our own buildings for a number of veterans that come to us. And we also work with a number of realtors to find housing for veterans who may just be having a problem finding housing but aren't really qualified for some of the programs that we have. But we don't turn anybody away in terms of being able to provide services and support for them. Mass Military Foundation, as kind of a, as much as and I know about them, is they are really putting a lot of the different military programs or military support programs together as a coalition to address the need on a much larger scale, working with area agencies as opposed to statewide agencies to be able to meet critical needs as well.
So,
I'll
just add one thing is that I know you mentioned, and it is a majority of our work is working with homeless veterans, but we also have services for any veteran that may come in. We do have everything from a food pantry twice a week to if you have questions about your benefits. We are not the VA, but we do work with the VA, and if anyone has questions about their VA benefits or need a referral for counseling services or any other kind of referral, legal referrals or things like that. We work with any veteran who comes in homeless or if you are housed and just need assistance with something else, we work with any veteran that can come in.
John, I know you noted earlier before we went on is that, you serve veterans from Newburyport, from Beverly, right in our area, so to speak. But do they come to the Haverhill location for services or times, or is there outreach?
There is outreach, and oftentimes our outreach is done through the veteran services offices in the various towns who will come across the veterans that may need our services, and they'll be referred to us. We tend to be mobile, so we'll go out and meet with vets who can't get to us. Oftentimes, if a vet is homeless in an area, we are even a Lyft concierge service where we can provide transportation to get the veteran to us if that's an issue, or we will go out and meet with the veteran. We also partner with a number of shelters across the area who know that if they come across a veteran that is in need, they can contact us. And we will do everything we can to make sure that we understand who the veteran is, what their needs are, and how we can best serve those needs.
You know, as we've been doing a number of interviews in the last several weeks since all of this started, I'm continue to be struck by the amount of work, great work being done by people, unselfishly, to serve so many people in such with new and in increasing high needs. It's just incredible work.
It is, and to be honest with you, it's times like these that brings out the best in people, I have to admit, that you find yourself oftentimes doing things that you didn't think you could do until the need was there. And we can't do what we do if it's not for the number of volunteers that come out to support us. In our first empowerment center last week, we had almost 18 people who came out to help us load groceries into veterans' cars who were signed up and coming in. We've had partners like Eagle Leasing who have provided us with 40-foot Connex boxes. When we reached out to them and said what we're doing, they said, where do you need the storage boxes? And they're out of Southboro, Mass., and they brought them to Danvers and Haverhill. And they're just donating them to us for as long as we need them to support this initiative. So, when you take a look at all these organizations that are coming together and all the people in these organizations, there's a lot of moving parts, and it's an amazing task to see this actually come together. And it came together so rapidly that, we can't do it without people being willing to do that extra in terms of what they can do to make this all happen.
Let me ask one other question, and that would be about donations. When I refer to donations, food donations, cash donations, or even volunteering, what advice or information can you share with us?
Sure. Yes, donations of all shapes and sizes are welcome. The financial donations are the ones that probably go the furthest at this point, because we can use the money to be able to attack critical needs across a wide spectrum of the services that we provide to veterans, whether it be clothing, additional food, helping them with a first and last month's rent payment, whatever the case may be. The food donations or in-kind donations, we can only take non-perishable sealed food, so canned goods, box goods that are still sealed and things like that are all within date. And we have a food pantry that is supported by donations from the food banks and also from the various grocery stores in the area that help us. We also work with the Accidental Food Bank, which is out of the North Shore area as well. So, food donations are always, always welcome. And right now, the best way to make a food donation, to be honest with you, is a grocery store gift card. That in some cases we can hand them to a veteran family to be able to go out and get what they need for their supplies. If we can't do it, that's one of the other pieces that's there. And then we have our normal donation strings that we go in with the holidays that will be coming up in Thanksgiving and Christmas. There's an opportunity to donate Thanksgiving dinners or Christmas dinners or whatever the case may be to families. And we have an awful lot of people who step up and want to make a difference. And it doesn't matter if it's, $5 or $5,000. They're all critically important to the success of our program.
Gotcha. Gail, do you have anything to add? Or, John, anything else that, I didn't ask you about that you think people should know about?
I'd just like to say that we are open during this crisis. We do have staff on site, not only for our residents that are there, but we have our food pantry for veterans, which is held on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 12. We've seen a big increase in the number of veterans that are attending that, utilizing our food pantry. I'd also like to say that we do have staff available if any veteran is in need during this time. Our phone number is 978-372-3626, and anyone can, we're still all working and helping veterans during this time. Our doors, our hall may be closed to the public as we need to have it closed for safety and health reasons, but we're all still available and working to help any veteran that might need any kind of service from us.
Absolutely, Gail. And I have to tell you, Bill, I'm so proud of the staff we have at VNOC. Throughout this COVID-19, when many agencies were closed and unable to take new people in, we continue to keep our doors open. We continue to work with the veteran community. We continue to help place them. We continue to work with landlords to find housing for veterans that were in need. We are very proud of the fact that all through this, since the beginning, we have not turned anybody away who came through our doors asking for help.
Well, John and Gail, the work sounds remarkable, and you're right. Thanks for pointing that out about your staff and the people that make all of this happen. And again, I just want to point out, and maybe you can just reaffirm with me, anybody thinking of dropping by these pop-up food centers that might recur at North Shore Community College or at the Essex Community College. I think I've got that name wrong. I might have blown that one on you guys. But anyways, they need to register in advance for that, and that's an online registration, right?
Yes, and they can go to our website, which is VNEOC.org, and go to our stories header, and they can find the link to be able to sign up and register for that, or they can go to MassMilitarySupportFoundation.org. And sign up there as well. And I want to tell you what's nice about that. The Mass Military Support Foundation also has all of the food empowerment centers across the state that are listed. So if they don't see one that is locally convenient to them, there are other ones that are listed. And the one that is constantly going on is the one at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. That they can register for as well. So there's plenty of opportunities to be able to get registered. And I encourage people, if you have a need, please don't pass up this opportunity.
Well, John and Gail, thanks so much for joining us and taking a few minutes to join us. Hang on the line if you could. Gail Hewins is with us, and John Ford again from VNOC, and we'll have more just ahead here on Connections. Coming right up, Dave Radigan, educator, comedian, and writer. He'll be joining us. He'll be telling us about Speechapalooza, which is this afternoon at 4 o'clock and for the next 3 days. That story and a whole lot more just ahead on Connections.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. We continue with Connections, and joining us is Dave Radigan, educator / comedian. No, that's enough slashes, I think, right, Dave? There's
maybe writer, or maybe who knows, the way things are going for me, maybe U.S. census taker by the end.
Well, Dave, we're going to label this segment called America Goes Back to Work. Even though Massachusetts is not going back to work, parts of America are going back to work. So what are your thoughts on America going back to work?
I have mixed feelings about it, to be honest. I in terms of my personal situation, for America to go back to work, like everybody, I'm worried about the things I don't understand, which is pretty much everything. So I find the only people that seem to truly have a handle on what is going on in the country right now are idiots who I would never listen to on any other subject. But they've anointed themselves as geniuses in the public health front, just as they were geniuses a couple of weeks before about politics and other subjects.
Dave, I was listening to a news show today. I flipped on the TV for a few moments, and they were talking about, this would have been yesterday, talking about the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds doing a flyover over New York City and how that would lift spirits and how they did something. Then the host goes and said, then they did something similar to that in Italy a few weeks ago, and it really helped out the country of Italy. And I'm thinking, what did they do in Italy? And actually, to learn to find out, Dave, that what they didn't have the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds do a flyover of Rome, but what they had is right on their main drag down there leading near the Vatican, they had four Fiats running side by side. That's it. That's all. But man, it lifted their spirits up.
Well, you know, it's funny because they've had these parades of emergency vehicles, and one of them, I live close enough to Beverly Hospital that it went right by my place, and I remember looking outside thinking, what is that racket? And there were all these, and they were actually going at a pretty good clip. There were all these fire engines and everything else, and I'm like, what is this? And then it turns out they were doing it to lift the spirits of the people working the emergency shifts in the Beverly Hospital and other hospitals around the area. And I thought, wow, at least everybody in the hospital can hear them.
We had a similar story the other late afternoon. I think it was early evening, actually. Still daylight out, I think, if I'm not mistaken. It was still daylight, right? And you hear the police sirens and a fire truck. You go, oh, this can't be good. And and then I could see up the hill. You could see the lights. And then it was like a light turned around and did a U-turn and wasn't going fast at all. And I'm thinking, this is strange. Of course, later to find out they were going by a senior citizen's home and saluting the workers there at the home, which was a nice thing to do.
It was probably the same thing. Maybe they weren't going as fast as they seemed to be, but I thought they seemed to be going at a...
Well, it was a different...
They weren't going at a parade pace. They weren't going at a, you know, our most senior veterans can walk along with the fire engines pace. They were going a little faster than that, but I don't want you to think they were going like the Fiats in Italy.
Well, the other thing too, Dave, you're in Beverly, they're at the hospital, they're going by. They might have said, wait a minute, we just got a call. We got to run down to Rantoul Street for some smoke.
They got a call about the potholes on Rantoul Street. They had to answer that.
Yeah. Car hits a pothole and catches fire. You never know. Yeah.
Maybe a visitor stepped in a pothole, fell. Can't get them out of there. They need the anyway.
Hey, I want to ask you about this. So we talk about you being a educator, as I do that in air quotes now, but you're an educator. We have a link up there to Speechapalooza on this Connections post. So what is Speechapalooza? And it's happening today, right?
It happens today. The first of 3 days is today, 4 o'clock every day at Speechapalooza on Facebook, 4 o'clock. And it's a really good example of both how we've adjusted and we've adapted to the current situation, both in school and at work, because I was at work and they were at school. And so the students, we put on an event every year for a public relations class that is called Speechapalooza. And it's a speaking event. They usually do it on campus. It's a 2-hour event on campus. And they bring the speakers from around the school out to speak, basically. And people come in, they watch, and they serve pizza, because that's kind of the rule at community college. If you do anything, you have to serve pizza. And if it's free, we get a crowd. So we don't have, because we don't have school anymore, or we don't have, you know, we don't have a physical place to go to. So we were going to cancel it. And then I thought, well, why don't we try it online? And the students went for it, and they've done a really nice job of basically taking speeches that students did for public speaking classes and presenting them in a three session, whatever you want to call it, festival of speaking.
Palooza. I would call it a palooza, Dave. It's Why can't you just go with a palooza?
Yeah,
what's the matter with you?
Palooza. They did a great job. It looks good. The speeches look good. We've been meeting on it week after week. We've come up with a plan. We've tried to promote it as best we could. And they've really done a very impressive job.
So are these speeches that have already been videoed and they're going to play them? It's not live as such then, right?
Yeah. Two of my classes, actually, one of the things I teach is public speaking. And I've never done it online, but we had to do it online. And I got to tell you, you take students, some of whom are nervous to be in front of people in a classroom, and you work as a public speaking teacher, you work on getting them confident and getting them capable in a classroom with the hopes that they take it out. And it is really impressive to see the change in students. And in this semester, just as we're starting to get rolling with that, and they're doing it on videos. They're video recording themselves on their phones and whatever else they have, and then they're sending the videos in. And it's the first ones were a little bit stiff, and the second ones got better. And this is really their best speeches, and they did a nice group of speeches. I mean, they're student speeches, so some of them are fantastic, and some of them are on things that you wouldn't expect somebody to do a speech on, and it's a fun little thing.
Sounds good. So we got the link up to that. So that it starts tonight at 4 o'clock or this afternoon at 4, and goes for 3 straight days. I wouldn't even, once you start watching them, I wouldn't take a shower or do anything. Just bring your food.
And you want to leave a comment that says how wonderful it is. And did I mention the college? It's Northern Essex Community College, in case I forgot.
You did not.
So there's my plug.
You did not mention it. So Northern Essex Community College. Dave, anything else to share with us? I know the governor started a task force here yesterday to reopen the state of Massachusetts, but that's still some time away.
You know, it's fascinating. You know, I talked about the fact that the only people who definitely know what to do are the people you don't want making the decisions. But the people who don't know what to do, who are the people actually making the decisions, like Governor Baker, I mean, it's a Hobson's choice. I mean, if you open it one way, you know, if you open too soon, you risk the bounce back. If you don't open it soon enough, you risk, obviously, economic catastrophe and hardship, or at the very, very least some hardship, maybe a lot. We've already had some hardship. So I think it's a tough choice to make, and I'm happy to see that Massachusetts seems to be approaching it with a lot of caution, and I think it's a pretty intelligent approach. I did hear somebody on television over the weekend, and he was a pretty well-spoken guy, and he talked about the fact that maybe, you know, there's an integrated approach is the best approach. You know, I don't know. I'll leave the house. I think I'll leave the house when they say I can, but I might take a couple of extra weeks just to be sure.
So we have, on that note, we have some bright spots to look forward to. We have the fact that the Thunderbirds and the Blue Angels are out flying and supporting and our first responders. We have the four abreast Fiats in Italy, and we have Speechapalooza coming up from Northern Essex Community College. I mean, so those are the three big things that I think that are impacting our lives right now.
I think we should put Speechapalooza in front of the Fiats, definitely.
That's true. You got me on that, because the Fiats are actually, you know, they're not late model Fiats. Well, one of them is a little newer than the other three, but they're not that new. So you're right.
I'm sure they boosted everyone's spirits, and anything we can do to boost our spirits, it's a good thing. I don't know about you, but I'll be sitting at home, and then, I mean, you know, a hawk flies by, and I'm like, I'm excited. It's like, hey, look at the bird.
So. Yeah, I was waiting for a siren to go off in the neighborhood or anything. Yeah, exactly. All right, Dave Radigan, thanks for joining us. This is Connections. This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Thanks so much for joining us on Connections. Coming up in tomorrow's program, State Representative Lori Ehrlich, and we'll get the very latest from the city of Gloucester, Rick, right?
We'll have our weekly update from the Public Health Director, Karen Carroll.
On Friday, Diana DeSaglio, State Senator, and also Lisa Dana, the Superintendent of Schools from Danvers, and we'll also check in on the lobster business as well this week as well. Hopefully get that on Friday's program as well heading into the weekend. So, Rick, we got a lot more things happening Thursday and Friday on Connections, and do check back with us every weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Absolutely. Be safe. Do the right thing.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.